Welcome to the Working Parent podcast. This podcast season is designed to support working parents throughout lockdown and beyond. I'm Sharon Charlton Thompson, and I'm one of the founders of the Working Parent Company. You can find out more about us at theworkingparentcompany.co.uk and follow us on LinkedIn, The Working Parent Company, for daily articles and updates. Today's episode is about strengths. Strengths are one of the portable resources that we all have available to ourselves. Knowing what our strengths are, having awareness of our strengths, and knowing how to play to our strengths are all things that can bring us energy, enthusiasm, and fulfillment. And so today I'm delighted to be welcoming Sally Bibb to the podcast. Sally is an award-winning author. She's director of a strengths consultancy called Engaging Minds, and she's a keynote speaker and incredibly sought after for her practical and very inspirational perspectives on strengths. So please join us as we explore why we need to know our strengths, how they can help us, and how it can lead to more fulfilling lives. Okay, so today I'm welcoming to the podcast Sally Bibb. And Sally and I met probably a good few years ago now. We were brought together, we connected over the love of the poetry of David White. And we both attended a Salon series, which David does every year in the UK, which is a series of weekends with David and his poetry. And off the back of that, probably I think because Sally and I both have strengths in connection, we formed a small peer group. There's five or six of us and we meet a couple of times a year. It's stood the test of time and we meet really in the service of our own growth and development and really sort of bringing interesting things to each other when we meet, little gifts of interesting things. It's a wonderful peer group that is dear to my heart. Sally is also director of Engaging Minds, which is a strengths consultancy, and author of many books, not just ones on strengths, but also she has books on trust and ethics in business and lots of things to do with organisations and how organisations work. So welcome, Sally.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's lovely to have you here. And my first question, it's a question I've never asked you, I realise, in the years that we've known each other, is how did you get into the world of strengths?
Well, it was one of those fortuitous moments. About 15, 20 years ago, I'd gone to a conference and I heard, I think she was a Harvard professor, talking about the field of positive psychology. And she spoke about the evidence of what happens when people play to their strengths. And it was like a light bulb moment for me because on a personal level, in my first job, my first job after uni, I loved it. I was good at it. I absolutely was flying and I was kind of put down as a high flyer. And then they promoted me and it was such a wrong job for me. And I couldn't understand why. At the time, I was working for a huge global corporate that had, you know, stuff full of assessments as to how they promoted people. And so I thought, well, they couldn't have got it wrong. It must be me. So that was my personal story. And it sort of bugged me from that time. You know, how could it have been so wrong? And then at the time I was working, when I went to the conference, I was working at The Economist and I was studying what made our great salespeople great. And it all came together in a light bulb. And I thought, I really want to do this for more organizations and more people. So that's when I started within The Economist developing a methodology for understanding what strengths do people who are good at a particular role, what strengths do they have?
Wow. And I guess, was that the result of that piece of work? Was it what made people great, their strengths?
Yeah, it was their strengths. And when I talk about strengths, I include in that people's deeper motivations and values.
Yeah.
And quite often how we account for our own fulfillment and success or other people's, quite often we don't get it right. We either miss things or we misinterpret things or we don't go into enough enough depth to understand what's actually driving us to feel so great about this.
That's what I love about your approach, Sally, is that you take a real depth view on strengths and that you use a lot of reflective time and tools in your work to find out not just what people's strengths are, but what really resonates for them so that they can really own their strengths in their language, you know, that they have real meaning for them. If we dive straight in, can you tell us a little bit about what are strengths and why are they so important?
Sure. So we now know from, you know, several decades of evidence that when people play to their strengths, they're happier, more fulfilled, more resilient, more successful. And we also know something that we didn't used to know, which is that people are who they are by the time they're in their late teens and early 20s. So to your question, what is a strength? A strength is something that we're naturally good at, that we love doing. And the important element is that we're energized by, you know, we all kind of learn to be good at certain things, but if they don't energize them, then it's not a strength. And also, as I just mentioned, our strengths are the things that are our deeper motivations and values, things that are really important to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that idea that they're sort of already laid down by the time that we're young adults, that what we naturally are good at is there actually from quite a young age. Why do our strengths make us so happy? What is it about strengths that really have us feel more engaged and happier in the world?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, all you have to do is get into a conversation with somebody, anybody of whatever age, about what they love doing, what they're drawn to, what they're energized by, and you can see it in them, can't you? So it's kind of going with the grain of who we are. And I'm not saying, actually, I should probably add a caveat to the word happy. I tend to like to use the word fulfilled, and I know I've been using the word happy in this conversation so far, because if you think about, for example, a scientist, I know a guy who's he's a top physicist, and quite a lot of the time he's frustrated because he's trying to find things out and he can't quite get there, but he's so in the right kind of role for him, it's deeply fulfilling. Because, you know, he is doing what he loves. He is playing to his strengths. So for him, it's more a sense of fulfillment than happiness.
That's a more meaningful word for me as well, to think of it as what fulfills me rather than the happy word. And I can think just for myself, after a tough day or after just a long day, and particularly at the moment in lockdown, working parents, having the kids around and working at the same time, one of the things that I can do at the end of the day is just take a book off the bookshelf and you know, dive into something that is expansive or that just feels fulfilling at the end of the day. It can take me out of the day and into something which actually really fills me up and has me feel quite nourished and good in the world. So I can really appreciate that.
And it doesn't have to take long, does it? I think sometimes even just thinking about something we love or having a conversation with somebody on the phone about it can reconnect us with that and make us feel better.
Absolutely. I mean, the joke in my family is that I never finish a book. And I've probably got about, you know, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, and probably about six on the go at any one time. But if I reach in to something, I'm reading a lot of Mark Epstein at the moment. I love his work, and I can just reach in and I can get something from a book that just has that sort of, oh yeah, that's what it's about, or oh god, yeah, you know, and it will really fill me up, because that's a strength of mine, I know, for that love of learning.
Nice. Yeah,
and that could be, you know, 5 minutes at the end of the day of a cup of tea or something. That I can use a strength to create that switch.
And do you, I shouldn't be turning the questions on you, but do you do this with your children? I mean, do you know what their strengths are and what can help them at the end of the day?
Yeah, with both of my kids, because the strengths assessment that I sometimes use online, BIA.org, I think it is.
Yeah.
They now have a children's version. It's completely free of charge. And I got both of my kids to do that some years ago now. And it was really interesting. And I think for my daughter also, she would pick up a book and lose herself in that. And that would be a real way to shift out of something into a different state and would really be fulfilling for her. And for my little boy, the bit that we've been enjoying over lockdown together, and I say this, of course, there's been a lot of Xbox as well. but the bits that I found really lovely with him is we both like walking and we both like nature. So on the days I've managed to get out for a walk, if I take Sam with me, we've had our best conversations on walks. And he really notices things that I don't notice on walks. You know, he has that love of nature. He's done a lot of forest school and scouts and things like that. And I love learning from him.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very lucky. Not every day is like that. I hasten to add, not every day is like that.
They're good resources to have in your pocket, though, aren't they?
They are great resources to have in my pocket. And they're a great way of shifting a family. You know, I often think if we're spiraling down as a family during lockdown, it's been very difficult. My youngest yesterday, we're going on holiday in a couple of weeks' time, and he said to me, "Oh, but Mummy, we'll still all just be together." And I thought, yes, I know. I feel like that too. You know, we all need some space and some, you know, something a bit different or something, I don't know. But they are things that I do think with awareness I have in my pocket as real sort of shapeshifters in family life. So if things are getting tricky, not all the time, I'm human like everybody else, but there are times when I can do something and think, okay, yeah, my daughter loves cooking. Let's bake a cake. Okay, both kids, you know, like to be messing about with the dog in the garden. Let's just get outside for 10 minutes and be able, hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully to be able to just use a strength to bring some energy and some enthusiasm and a smile.
I really like that. And you know, I think once you know your strengths and you're clear in quite a lot of detail about yourself like that, you can manage sometimes, of course, not always, but you can manage to fit something in that you know will uplift you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got an example from yesterday. You know, I knew I had to do some really boring, tedious stuff sometime during the day. So I put in the middle of the day something that I absolutely love to do that normally I might have gone to my desk and got straight at it, but I thought, no, I'm going to save that because I'll need it to get me through this really difficult stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a way of managing your energy and your state as well.
Yeah. And it's so hard to forget, I think, when we're particularly at the moment and we're all working online and things, and I can get really sucked into work, you know, just as much as, you know, lots of people can, and I can forget to take breaks, and I can forget to, you know, use the sort of super resource that strengths can be. I like the thought of what you just said, that the resource in your pocket. And yet, you know, in between clients, I stand up, I open the door, I step outside, rain or shine, you know, I will find a way to sort of come back to myself and get some energy in between meetings, in between sessions, you know, those sorts of things. Mm. Yeah, I like that, as a resource in your pocket, because it's a bit like another brilliant resource I think of is breath and breath work. And again, strengths and breath, they're with us all the time. Probably our most portable resources.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you're right. So yeah,
they are there for us to really notice and to act upon. A really great source. And we in coaching world, with my coaching hat on in the Working Parent Company, we use a strengths assessment with every single coaching client to get them to really think about strengths. In fact, can I ask you a question about that?
Mm.
Because I think culturally, and also because of the huge negativity bias that we tend to have as human beings, which can be a complete pain in the butt, when I do strengths assessments, not with myself as well as with clients, you know, I notice that people will often go to, well, where are my weaknesses? What needs fixing? Before that, they'll be able to really receive their strengths sometimes. what is it about that, you know, our sort of weaknesses, and that we're so skilled and so attuned to looking at what's not quite right rather than really enjoying what is?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we do have a negativity bias as humans, which is a survival mechanism. I think also culturally, I mean, some cultures are better, if I can put it that way, at looking at their strengths and going there first than looking at the weaknesses. I think certainly in the British culture, we tend to be a bit more self-effacing. But also, I think we learn to do that through the school system where, you know, I don't know if your children get reports, but it's so common, isn't it, when there's seven A's and one B, and children and sometimes parents can focus on, well, how can we get the B to an A, instead of, wow, let's have a look at all the A's and that's amazing. How can you carry on with that? So, and then that carries on in organisations, doesn't it, where, I mean, I don't know about you, Sharon, but when I worked in the corporate world, you know, year after year, the same weaknesses or development points, as they euphemistically call them, would come up, and I would try and fix them. And it would have been so much more energizing if the organization took a strengths-based approach to development and performance, which isn't to say, you know, ignore your weaknesses, but the way we go at it is to say, we all have weaknesses, we're all human, we can't be good at everything. What are your weaknesses that matter in the particular job you're doing or task you're trying to achieve that day, and how can you mitigate those? And it's helpful nowadays, of course, because we've got the evidence to show that when businesses focus on their strengths and they've got a granular understanding of what makes them great, what pushes them ahead and what might hold them back as well, but mostly success comes from playing to your strengths. I mean, you know, good football managers know that. So I think, I mean, sometimes clients say to me, you know, if this is so great, why aren't more organizations doing it? And I haven't really got an answer to that, other than I think it just takes ages to change established methods, even if they're not particularly effective.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it does take a long time to change those. But, and I know things are changing, and lots more organisations now take a strengths-based approach. But we are fighting against that negativity balance, or, you know, fighting maybe is the wrong word. We're having to navigate that, aren't we? And I love that when you say, okay, so yes, of course, we all have weaknesses. We're all human beings. I mean, my grammar is shocking. which of those really matter? Which of those really matter to the task or the job? It's interesting, just before we came and started recording, I was talking about podcasts. I know you've also started a podcast, Sally, which we will get onto because it's absolutely brilliant, your podcast. But, you know, it was interesting for me that when lockdown first started, thinking about the business and how to be as helpful as I could be to our clients, that I started writing articles. And then I soon realized that writing an article was the thing on my to-do list that I kept on carrying over to the next day. You know, we all have those things that just never get done. Carried over. And because writing doesn't energize me, that's why. Writing doesn't, it just doesn't bring the energy in the way that talking does and having conversation does and having connections. And so my husband and a few friends were saying, start a podcast. And I was battling with the, oh crumbs, everybody starting podcasts, you know, I'm not going to jump onto that bandwagon. And also fear, you know, of recording and having my voice out there and, you know, all that, will I be any good and all that type of stuff. But actually doing the podcasts is so enjoyable because it plays to a strength, you know, leverages a strength, whereas writing wasn't doing that. Yeah.
Well, that, you know, how great of you to kind of make that connection. On the subject of weaknesses as well, you know, something's just come to mind that might be useful to share. And again, I think it's a cultural thing. So often people will say to me, well, I feel like I'm showing off, you know, or I feel like I'm being a big head if I talk about my strengths.
Yes.
And my response to that, which seems to work most of the time, is that, you know, if you don't share your strengths, how do other people know? How can you be in service to other people? So, you know, if you're working in a team, and if I was working with you on something, and I say, Sharon, you know, these are the things that I'm really good at. If I can help you with any of those, just let me know. Yeah. And if we can get that sort of mindset around it, and it helps us to be able to contribute more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that sort of shifts people's mindset often absolutely. Towards being more comfortable with owning and sharing their strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we talk a little bit about awareness and reflection? So obviously we need to be aware of what our strengths are in order to be able to have them as a sort of super resource in the pocket. I know you use a very reflective way of working when you're helping somebody really understand what their strengths are. How important is time for reflection when discovering strengths?
It's really important if the knowledge is going to stick.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you can do an online test and you read it and you go, oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's useful. But then it can sort of fade away. What we find with a reflective approach is that people come up with their own way of describing their strengths and who they are. And in using their own language, it makes more sense and it resonates more deeply. So yes. Let me give you an example. We did a piece of work where we were studying great ward sisters in hospitals to really understand what kind of person made a great ward sister. And we were spending time with exemplars. And one of the strengths that it turned out they all shared was they love to be on top of things.
Mm.
Now, you wouldn't find that in a strengths test, but that phrase just resonates with nurses. And it's a phrase, a form of words that they used over and over again. So if you can help people to find their own words, it's sort of like it lands deeper and they remember it as well.
Yeah, I can really appreciate that. And just that phrase, like to be on top of things, you know, that resonates quite deeply with me, actually. Yeah, I like to be on top of things as well. But also, more importantly, I can understand what that means in that role. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that resonates deeply with the ward sister, then that, because of that resonating, because of that having real personal meaning, then it's going to be remembered.
It's going to be remembered, and also it can change things for people. A wonderful example of that was we did a workshop one day with a number of different people, and there was a Muslim woman in the workshop, and one of the revelations she had in going through the different reflective questions was that she'd always had this, it was a slightly unconscious shyness or embarrassment about her religion, because she felt a bit awkward about taking time out for the various festivals and so on and praying at work. And what she realized in the process of thinking about her strengths was that her really deeply held values that enabled her to be so good at some aspects of her job came from her religion.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, as a result of that revelation, it gave her confidence, and she actually went up to her boss and said, I think I can contribute more in these areas because these are my strengths. And she was able to voice them with confidence because they came from deeply inside her and she believed herself.
Yes.
It wasn't as though something from outside was coming in and saying, this is how you are. She'd generated it herself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We were just, for people listening, Sally and I were looking just before we clicked record. We were having a chat about How to Have a Good Day, which is a book that was written by Caroline Webb a few years ago. And I think when I was recommending this book to clients and for myself, everybody just loved this book because it's such a how-to book. You know, she brings together behavioral psychology and neuroscience, etc. And we were looking at what it said on strengths, and there was a lovely line in there that I just want to read out, which is there's a very good return on investment for a few minutes of reflection. And I think that's so true. I wish I'd written that line myself.
Me too.
So true that a few minutes of reflection, because we don't have to do a test. I guess we can just sit and think about, well, you tell me, Sally, how would somebody, you know, really get to understand what their what their strengths might be?
Yeah, so it's about the right questions. And yeah. I would say, given this is a podcast for working parents, it's something to do with your children as well. So questions like, you know, what were you drawn to when you were young? Yeah. What are the things that stay on your on the top of your to-do list that you can't wait to get at in the morning? Mm. What are the things that just give you a lift when you know you're going to do them? What are the things that when you've done them, you think, oh, I can't wait to do that again? And with children, you know, I know sometimes it's hard to get children to talk about things, you know, so actually in my strengths book, I do have a small section on parenting and the kinds of things you can ask question, you can ask of children, like, if you see them really engaged in something, you know, what is it that you love about doing that? Tell me more about what it was like doing that. So you sort of gradually help them to surface an awareness of who they are and what they love to do and their strengths.
Is that your strengths workbook? Is that that?
So there are two books. There's a strengths book, which has quite a lot of information about strengths, and it's got some exercises and questions. And that's the one that's got the section on parenting. And then the strengths workbook is a practical 8-week program, although some people do it quicker, and each week there are reflective exercises to do on a topic, so they're sort of companions with each other, really.
Yeah, brilliant.
I wrote the workbook in response to people who'd read the strengths book saying, you know, I'd like to be able to develop it into more of a habit. Is there something that I can be doing over a period of time?
Well, I'll make sure that there's some details on both books in the blurb that goes to the podcast so people can find those, because they're both really great books, really practical books as well. Yeah,
fantastic. Great, thanks.
How can knowing about our strengths, if we spend the time to reflect and think about the things that give us energy and the things that we're drawn to, the stuff on the to-do list, as you say, that we can't wait to get to, how does knowing about strengths help us?
It's about energy, and it's about that sense of resilience when we're in that zone. And also, as we touched on earlier, it helps you to consciously use them when you really need them. If you know you're going to have a difficult day or a week, or you're, you know, speaking at a conference or something like that, it helps you to say, okay, what have I got in my pocket that I can bring to bear on this? So it's a real good tool for resilience. And it's about consciousness, really.
Yeah. And what in terms of strengths and motivation, because you've mentioned motivation a few times, do strengths give us motivation? Are they things that we're motivated to do? What is the relationship?
That's a good question. Yes, they do. I mean, obviously, we all know the feeling of motivation when we're doing something that we absolutely love. But also, you know, our strengths are, our motivations are our engine. I mean, it's no good being good at something if you don't want to do it, is it? If you're motivated, say, by learning, as you have said you are, then it's going to help you if you're deciding to embark on a program or a course, knowing that you can have that motivation's a really good tool to have in that situation. So I don't get too hung up on separating, well, is that a motivation or a strength? Because everything's, you know, motivations are always our strengths.
Yes.
And also our values. So knowing what's really important to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can also help us to know if something bothers us or angers us. Quite often it's because it's crossed over one of our values.
A line's been crossed somehow. Mm. Something feels compromised. I'm sort of listening and I'm putting myself in the shoes. Well, I am a working parent myself. I've got two kids at home, been working through lockdown. And also the clients that I work with that are working perhaps with younger children that I've got. And so, you know, really having to pull it out of the bag during lockdown, in big jobs, having kids at home at the beginning without childcare, you know, perhaps now starting to feel a real fatigue setting in and depletion. Mm. Where can strengths really help then when you're, you know, when just getting up in the morning and facing the day is requiring energy, let alone getting through the day? How can our strengths help us when we're in that place of fatigue?
I had this conversation with a friend who's a single mum of three children at home. They've actually been locked down since January because she's in Asia. We were talking about two things. One is she gave up quite quickly on trying to make her kids do things to the timetable, and she would really let them go with what they were drawn to. She said she gave, you know, they had more screen time than would be ideal, but she did what the sort of things that you're talking about. And we also talked about how this is a good time to kind of have a chat together and say, you know, it's been a really difficult time. What were we all really good at? You know, what did we do well? What did we do that we might not have otherwise thought we'd have been able to do? So to bring that appreciation into it when, you know, lots of people are struggling and not feeling maybe particularly great about themselves, and having that conversation can really give a chance to validate and appreciate what went well, rather than, you know, being so acutely aware of all the difficulties, of course, which, you know, I'm not diminishing those at all.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's so important, isn't it, to think, you know, thinking of families, and none of us have been through this before. None of us know, you know, perhaps for the first time, the kids know about as much about this situation as we do, maybe even more, I don't know. But, you know, it's unfolding in front of our eyes. It's going on longer than any of us could have anticipated. To be able to press pause a few times and just, you know, a virtual or a real high five and behind, you know, your own family of origin, and say, we're actually getting through this. This is hard. This is really difficult. You know, teenagers should not be at home with their parents 24/7. Homeschooling is not normal. You're missing out so much of seeing your friends, etc., as our mum and dad, or, you know, whoever the carers are in any particular given family, and really thinking about, we're actually doing okay. We're actually doing okay. There's been good days, there's been not so good days, but we're actually doing all right here. And then if I think about what we've all done that has really helped with that, there's been moments when my daughter literally hasn't stopped baking biscuits and cakes and feeding us all these sweet treats. And there's been moments when my youngest has really entertained us with his silliness and his love and playfulness and curiosity. There's been lovely moments amongst how difficult it's felt at times. There has been lots of lovely moments, and to really appreciate those strengths in each other.
Yeah, I think you're right, because we do tend to take ourselves for granted, and we can take other people for granted as well. And to surface the strengths, most people I find will say, when we're talking about their strengths, will say, but isn't everybody like that?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. You know, what you've got and what you bring is really special and lovely. And, you know, let's applaud that.
Yes.
And also from a point of view of kind of first aid kit element, if you like, I had a call a couple of weeks ago with a friend, and I don't know if you've ever had one of those calls where you just think, I've got nothing to give you. I just don't know what I can offer you.
Yes.
That will be helpful.
Yeah.
And I had one such phone call, and you know, my friend was in a state of distress, and I said, after a bit, you know, can you think of one thing right now that might just give you a tiny little bit of strength? And she thought, and she said, well, you know, I think if I could get outside for a bit of a walk. She also loves nature, and I stayed on the phone with her while she went outside. And, you know, our strengths do strengthen us. And, you know, she absolutely loves nature, and she loves, she's an observer. And it just gave her a little lift. And sometimes those little lifts can be some, you know, can get us through a difficult moment, can't they?
Those little lifts can be lifesavers. You know, I think if you're really getting to really depleted, or if you've had a few really sort of challenging days, one on top of another, then those little things that don't take a lot of time, and that often we don't think of when we're in it ourselves, and it can take somebody else to ask a question like you did of your friend, you know, is there, what could give you a little bit of strength right now? Yeah, it's a really great question to ask. And she knew immediately.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, and we do know, don't we? We do know immediately, on the whole, what it is that could be needed. you know, I often would ask myself or would ask clients, if they're in really challenging times, what is it that would be most helpful right now? Which is a similar sort of question. But I love that. What is it that could give you a little bit of strength right now? I'm thinking about, well, first of all, tell me about your podcast, because I want people to know about that. So it's called The Lockdown Diaries, Human Stories from Around the World.
It is. And as you can probably gather, I've always been interested in people and their stories. And I just wanted to know how people were really coping, because at the beginning, there were a lot of platitudes. So I chose a whole range of people. There's a young woman locked down in a tiny flat in New York. There's an ER doctor, and there's a young autistic man who's currently working on a supermarket checkout. There's a scientist who's working with the virus. And I was just interested in their stories and, you know, how life was for them, how life is for them right now. And in the process, it really drew out how people are coping, you know, what strengths they're using, what techniques they're using. And like you, I was very scared about doing a podcast. I've never done it before. I'm also a big learner, and I've actually really loved it. And we've had some really nice feedback from people who've said it's made them feel less lonely.
I listened to the one with the young man, the autistic young man who works in the supermarket, and found it incredibly moving, because you have a wonderful way of, you know, really bringing that human story to life. It really is a great series. And again, I'll link your podcast in the blurb to this one for people to seek out.
Thank you for saying that. That means a lot, because I suppose one of the things I've realised, which is a bit obvious, really my work is a simple thing. It's about seeing people and helping people to see themselves. And I'm on a bit of a mission now to encourage organisations to just have an approach which is really honouring of people and who they are and what they bring, to enable them to be their best. That's not new. You know, it's something that I know lots of organisations try to do, but I think it's potentially a lot simpler than we think it is. And it's just about seeing and really listening.
Fundamentally, I think, you know, as human beings, that's what it takes, isn't it? To really be seen, to really be understood and really be heard as who, for who we are and what we bring, what our contribution is. Such a gift when that is enabled in organisations, when that's really available.
Totally. It transforms everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you might have answered my last question, but I'll ask it just in case there's a spin on that or something else, which is, we're asking everybody that generously comes onto the podcast, so huge thanks, Sally, for doing that. What are you most hoping for in a post-COVID world?
Oh, gosh, there's a few things. I'm most hoping that on a personal level for people, that employers focus more on people's strengths. And there's so much that people have battled with, but there's so much that people have been able to bring to their organisations. So I think it's time to see people for what they bring. And I think we've had a hugely elevated appreciation of people in all sorts of jobs, not just key workers, but all sorts of jobs. So that's one thing. And then I hope that as a society, there is some rebalancing of things like pay for people in roles that have typically been paid minimum wage. And, you know, we've relied on van drivers, supermarket workers, care workers, haven't we?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I really hope that's a bit of a wake-up call for how we value, not just financially, but in terms of esteem, people in those jobs.
There's so much opportunity, isn't there, for a more human world, to a more connected world, an appreciative world to come out of this. And I also share a lot of those hopes and, you know, holding on to that hope that some of this sticks, some of this stays, some of this appreciation lives on from this extraordinary situation that we're all in. Sally, thank you so much. I could chat all day, but I think you know, for purposes of I'm always trying to keep these to around half an hour.
It's hard, isn't it? There's so much to talk about. It's been really, really great having this conversation. Thank you for asking me.
Not at all. Honestly, it's been wonderful to have you on. And, you know, I'm taking away the sense that strengths are a real portable resource. There's something in my pocket that I can use to really help engage with others and also to help lift and energize and bring me a more fulfilling moments as we continue to travel through this. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Can I just mention one more thing that's just come to mind?
Please do.
You know, I'm sure that some of your clients and listeners manage other people as well.
Yes.
You know, and I think a great thing to ask people that you manage is, you know, what did you do this week that you really loved? What are you going to be doing this week that really energizes you? And getting them into the zone of thinking about their strengths. And that's a helpful little tool, because I think it's quite hard to be a manager right now.
God, isn't it just? Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Sharon.
Not at all. Lovely, lovely to chat, and hopefully see you soon.
Hope so. Bye.
Bye. I could speak to Sally all day. I just really hope you enjoyed that small but deep dive into the world of strengths. I look forward to you joining us in our next episode. These podcasts are coming out once every few weeks during lockdown and beyond. But above all else, please stay well, stay connected, and stay resourced. Thank you.